Ladies and gentlemen, live from the world's most beautiful city, San Francisco, California, Ring Talk, your inside look into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Ring Talk on Sports Byline is brought to you by the World Boxing Organization and ringtalk.com.
The sooner we're through, the sooner we'll be back in town drinking cold beer.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in history.
He was an ultimate warrior.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Yes, my name is Pedro Fernandez. I am the reigning, defending, undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio airwaves, having defended that title now for better than 29 years. And straight up today, we're talking history, folks. March 8th, 1971, the fight of the century. It was simply called The Fight. Muhammad Ali, undefeated, out of boxing for almost 3 years because of that, you know, draft induction baloney. And, of course, Joe Frazier, the undefeated 1964 Olympic gold medalist, now the heavyweight champion of the world, is recognized by the New York State Athletic Commission. Because, remember, New York State and Madison Square Garden, they ran boxing back in those days, okay? So they were sort of like the commission, per se. If New York stripped you, guess what? You weren't the heavyweight champion of the world anymore. Anyway, the bottom line is we're talking history for the next hour. March 8th, 1971, 43 years ago today. Who would have thought it? Joe Frazier has passed away, of course, with liver cancer about 2 years ago. But straight up, Joe and I had a lot of interactions throughout my life. And, of course, I had a lot of I got to work with Muhammad Ali. That was like a treat. I mean, having to be Ali's bodyguard slash aide slash PR guy, anything you wanted. I shined his shoes if need be. We went to China. We spent 2 weeks in China. And I was paid to be Muhammad Ali's guy. It was wonderful. An incredible experience. But we've got lots to talk about today. If you'd like to join us, you can on the toll-free 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. You are listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, live on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, the iHeartRadio Network, and the American Forces Network.
Not all water is created equal, so take care of your body and drink Alchemy Water. Alchemy's unique formula includes alkaline, oxygen, and antioxidants, which boost your immune system and help your body achieve peak performance. If you're looking for a healthy, eco-friendly alternative to sugary energy drinks, join the many pro athletes and celebrities who treat their bodies right and drink Alchemy Water. Visit alchemywater.com. That's alkamewater.com.
Who did you let down today? Your wife? Your kids? Well, how about yourself? Take a look in the mirror. If you're tired of your drug and alcohol problem, you need to fix the problem and right now, before you hurt or kill yourself, or worse yet, somebody else. Call the addiction specialist now at the Detox and Treatment Helpline, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you have private insurance, we specialize in finding you the right treatment. When you call right now, you'll speak to a recovering addict who understands what you're going through right now. Let us help you break your addiction to drug and alcohol before it's too late. This call is completely confidential and free. So if you have private insurance, take 5 minutes of your time. Call right now. I promise it'll change your life. 800-296-1325. 800-296-1325. 800-296-1325. That's 800-296-1325.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
Right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
So you're into fantasy sports. Time for you to up your game at StarFantasyLeagues.com, where you can play fantasy sports like football, basketball, hockey, and baseball and earn cold hard cash every single day. It's legal, it's brand new, and it's awesome. At StarFantasyLeagues.com, you can play your favorite fantasy sport for real money against real people, or even play the Star Fantasy Leagues free tournaments for your chance to win something for nothing. Put your money where your mouth is. Prove your expertise. Get your game on today at StarFantasyLeagues.com.
I think that you win a lot of your fights, as well as in the ring, outside the ring as well. You psych people out, don't you, beforehand?
Well, this works. You don't really psych them out. You really make them fight harder. You don't psych them out. You don't put fear in them. And that's the thing. It makes them fight too hard. It makes them anxious. They got to get you. Like I told George, I said, okay, sucker, I'm backing up in the ropes, and I want you to take your best shots. And I just stood there. Come on, show me something. Show me something, kid. You're not doing nothing. You're just a girl. Look at you. You ain't got nothing. Come on, sucker. Show me something. Show me something, sucker. And if you think I'm not telling the truth, watch the films. I talked him to death. And I made him so angry. He just beat himself out. He was so tired. He was swaying and just fall on the ropes. I said, man, this is the wrong place to get tired. I said, you are in trouble. Didn't I tell you your hands can't hear what your eyes can't see? You know I'm the greatest of all times. I tell him this when we get in clinches. That worries a man to beat him and talk to him. You understand?
Do they talk back to you?
No. Only one fellow talked back to me, and that's Joe Frazier. I hit Joe Frazier with about 90 punches, if you remember the first fight. I hit him with everything. The man took a terrible beating. He wouldn't fall. I said, are you crazy? I hit him there. I said, you must be crazy. He said, that's right. I'm crazy. I just kept coming. I'm crazy.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He is the greatest fighter of all times, next to me.
In the break, 13 and a half minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. We are celebrating a great day in boxing history and sports history, folks. It was a day in which the entire world came to a halt. And I don't mean like the Super Bowl. I mean, it was bigger than the Super Bowl. It was a sport that had every country in the world interested. People wanted to know who was better, Muhammad Ali, born Cassius Clay, or Joe Frazier. Of course, both Olympic gold medalists, Ali the light heavyweight gold medalist in 1960, Joe Frazier the heavyweight gold medalist in 1964. Of course, they had different paths to the title. Ali turned pro, fought guys like Tunney Hunsaker, and, you know, moved his way up the rankings, per se, and got a shot at Sonny Liston. Of course, we've had many authors on the show regarding the Liston-Ali fights, or the Liston-Clay fights, however you want to call it, but the bottom line was, there's a lot of controversy involved, and people think that the first fight was thrown, and people think the second fight was thrown, and, I mean, there are people that think one fight was thrown, the other wasn't. I mean, it's crazy. But the Ali Liston, the rematch, of course, in Lewiston, Maine, the anchor punch, the punch that I thought connected on Sonny Liston's jaw, but, you know, not too many other people did, and they thought it was a phantom punch. They called it the phantom punch. But, of course, the first time, Liston just quit on his stool. That can't come out. My shoulders hurt. Yeah, not really. Didn't have surgery or anything like that afterwards. And was said to have thrown a stool or a chair against the wall with the arm that was the alleged, where the alleged injury was. So Sonny Liston, mobbed up from St. Louis. Johnny Taco, the late gym manager, of course, of Johnny Taco's Ringside Gym on Main and Charleston in Las Vegas, Nevada. A lot of history in that. I can go into many shows just on Johnny Taco's gym. But Johnny Taco is the guy that found Sonny Liston. He found him in dead in bed. And that's just the way it was. Shorts were down around his ankles. You can think what you want. But the door was locked from the inside. There was no apparent anybody getting in, no apparent anybody getting out.
Okay, and, you know, and there was no heroin in the house. And that's what I didn't understand. How could a man be, you know, convicted basically posthumously as a heroin addict and dying of a heroin overdose when the autopsy was a little bit incomplete there? I mean, the way Sonny Liston died, we'll never know. Self-induced, accidental, was it a health thing, which I think it was, or was he hit? Some people think he was hit. Anyway, Sonny Liston, Muhammad Ali, the controversy involving those two guys will go down in history as one of the greatest controversies in the history of sports. But Muhammad Ali, of course, became Muhammad Ali after the first Liston fight and announced that he was a Muslim with the Nation of Islam and the honorable, quote, the honorable, unquote, Elijah Muhammad at the helm. Of course, he appointed his son, Herbert Muhammad, to be Muhammad Ali's manager. And essentially, they took half of what Ali made. I call it the Tom Parker, the Colonel Tom Parker rule. Because you remember him? He sort of hung out with Elvis. No, he created Elvis. He brought us Elvis Presley. Anyway, he lived like 35, 40 years past Elvis. And he just died about like 8 or 10 years ago. But he had a deal with Elvis where for every buck that he made, Elvis, he made a buck. And that's basically the deal that the Muslims had with Muhammad Ali. And I asked Ali about this during one of our, you know, many trips around Asia. And I'm talking about we went to Macau, we went to the People's Republic of China, and we went throughout the mainland, five or six different spots. And I asked him one day, I said, you know, why would you give the church half your money? I mean, why would you? I mean, I don't get that. Not half. I can understand if you're really religiously involved, giving them a decent percentage or a percentage, but half of the money that you make. Anyway, he said, Pedro, he said, you don't understand. If I wasn't a Muslim, if I wasn't Muhammad Ali, I'd just be another punch-drunk, ex-blah-blah-blah fighter. Okay, he used the N-word. And I said, whoa. He goes, no. He goes, being a Muslim is what saved me. He believes being a Muslim saved him. Of course, his being a Muslim was to my advantage because when we were traveling around China, we would get massages in different places. And I'm not talking about massages with happy endings. I'm talking about real massages. And Ali could not get massaged by another woman. Couldn't have another woman touch his body because he was a Muslim. Okay, guys, it was cool. In fact, we had this gay guy in Beijing, and Ali was a little apprehensive about that. That was a little funny. I mean, he was obviously gay. Anyway, when we would book massages in hotels, we didn't know whether it would be male or females. We'd book them in advance a couple of days out. And we booked these massages, and it turned out to be, you know, it would be just chicks. So I would have like four hands working on me because he couldn't get a massage by a chick. So that was sort of cool about that. But Muhammad Ali became heavyweight champion. Of course, beat Sonny Liston, beat him in the rematch. You know, beat some guys that you wouldn't put in the Hall of Fame. I mean, maybe the best guy he beat was like, I mean, in his first title run, might have been, I don't know, Ernie Terrell? No, that wouldn't work. You know, he didn't fight Ernie Terrell. But Zora Foley? Nah, not really. I mean, Ali didn't have a Cleveland Big Cat Williams. Ali didn't have really a lot of names in his first run as heavyweight champion. Of course, that ended in 1967, essentially, when he refused to step forward and be inducted into the United States Army for the Vietnam War. They weren't going to draft him over to go to battle, but they wanted to use him as a spokesperson. And he said, quote, you're not going to use my name to lead young men to slaughter. Okay, so we'll go back in time just a little bit. We're back with Ali in the Frazier fights. And, of course, the first fight, it was 3.5 years retirement. Everybody knew it. Ali was rusty. He had the one fight with Jerry Quarry that went about 3 rounds. Take that back, less than 3 rounds. Quarry got cut. And then, of course, the fight with Oscar Bonavena went about 12, 13 rounds. And that was a good run for him. I mean, that was good as far as his endurance was concerned, his conditioning, because he knew he could go the rounds. But he wasn't yet Ali. He wasn't back. He 3.5 years being off. I mean, you can say that, you know, that he ran and he took care of business. No, he was touring from college campus to college campus. That's how he was making money. That's how he was getting paid, making appearances, getting paid for it. Okay? So he wasn't training per se. All right? But when he came back, he looked slow. He looked old. I mean, these were in the workouts beforehand because, you know, this was a big thing. When he came back, I mean, the world stopped, took notice of the heavyweight division once again. Joe Frazier had become heavyweight champion. But, you know, Joe Frazier was Joe Frazier. I mean, he struggled with Bonavena the first time. Bonavena probably beat him. Oscar, they called him Ringo. Of course, he was shot to death at the Mustang Ranch by an employer, Frank Conforte. Of course, he was messing around with Frank Conforte's wife. Why, I don't know. Anyway, but he got shot to death up there, Oscar Bonavena. But he lost. He had another fight with Frazier, and he lost the rematch decisively. But that first fight, Oscar Bonavena deserved to have his hand raised. That was a night where Joe Frazier got a bit of a gift. But that was Joe's coming out party. Okay, Joe, welcome to the big leagues, Joe, fighting Oscar Bonavena. And Joe was a good fighter, no question about that. Won the 1964 Olympic gold medal. Of course, he wasn't supposed to go to the Olympics the first time around, not in 1964. It was going to be Buster Mathis Sr. Of course, the father of Buster Mathis Jr. was a heavyweight that fought Mike Tyson in the 1990s, I believe, 1996, in Philadelphia at the Spectrum. Okay, but Buster Mathis was supposed to be on that Olympic team in 1964, and instead, he got hurt, and Joe Frazier took his place and won the Olympic gold medal. We are celebrating 43 years since the fight to stop the world, the fight between two undefeated, recognized heavyweight champions of the world. I'm talking about Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, March 8, 1971. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, the iHeart Radio Network, and the American Forces Network.
This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. A 14 by 21 foot shop for under $6,000, or a 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Quick, Joe!
Well, we're having a scene, as you can see, and it's hard to tell whether it's clowning or for real between the two fighters. This kind of thing has been going on all along in terms of promotion of the fight, and this time it seems to be for real.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Joe's gonna come out smoking, and I ain't gonna be joking. I'll be pecking and a poking, pouring water on his smoking. Then this might shock and amaze you, but I will destroy Joe Frazier.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long.
Damas y caballeros, ladies and gentlemen, in the blue corner from Louisville, Kentucky, with a record of 31-0, 25 KOs. He stands 6'3" tall and weighs 215 pounds. He is the lineal world heavyweight champion, Muhammad Ali. Ali! In the opposite corner, the reigning, defending world heavyweight champion, from Beaumont, South Carolina, now fighting out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, with a record of 26 wins, no losses, 23 KOs. He stands 5'11" tall, and he weighs 205 pounds. Ladies and gentlemen, Smokin' Joe Frazier. That's right, 43 years ago today, Ali and Frazier going at it. It was a fight, of course, that, wow, the world had anticipated, they wanted, they, because, you know, Frazier had a chance. Frazier might have been Ali's, might have been superior to Ali physically as a fighter. I mean, he had knocked out guys like Buster Mathis and Jimmy Ellis on his run to the championship. Of course, he was a recognized champion in a lot of places, but Ali was the linear champion, the lineal champion. Ring Magazine still recognized Muhammad Ali as a champion. And I thought that the WBC didn't strip him either, but according to the history of this fight, and I look back, the WBC had recognized both Joe Frazier as the world heavyweight champion, as did the WBA. But the bottom line is March 8th, 1971, they got it on, but we're talking about them getting to that point, okay? Joe Frazier took a lot of heat from Muhammad Ali. You heard him in the clip we came back from when they were doing a thing with Howard Cosell, and Ali was mocking Frazier, and Frazier took it seriously. And Ali started, like, wrestling with him, and Ali was playing. But no, Joe was for real. Joe said it on the show. I was serious. As a heart attack. And Ali was just clowning around. But that was part of the hype that these two guys put together. I mean, Muhammad Ali sort of made Joe Frazier. Joe Frazier, to an extent, helped make Muhammad Ali. But I would think that the Muhammad Ali fights, the three fights with Muhammad Ali, they certainly were the pinnacle of Joe Frazier's career. I mean, he only lost four fights, two fights to Ali, the second and third fight, the second fight in Madison Square Garden, a 12-round decision, I believe. And then, of course, he lost with a TKO in 14 when Eddie Futch wouldn't let him come out for the Thriller in Manila in 1975. Of course, the third fight, the great trilogy, the rubber match, Muhammad Ali winning two, Joe Frazier winning one. Of course, Joe winning the fight 43 years ago today. Man, 43 years ago. You know, I can remember that. Unfortunately, a lot of the people that were with me and around me at that point in time aren't here anymore. And, you know, Joe Frazier's left us and people like that. And Johnny Taco, the great gym leader, the gym owner in Las Vegas, the gym at Main and Charleston. I mean, he's gone. And, you know, he had such great, great, great stories to tell about Sonny Liston and about Muhammad Ali and about Joe Frazier. I mean, Taco could tell a story. He could spin a tale. About 75% of it was true. About 25% of it was Johnny Taco. But the bottom line is Taco told some great stories. But Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali, hooking it up for the World Heavyweight Championship. All the hype that went down beforehand. And, you know, Joe Frazier did help Muhammad Ali financially, I was told, you know, small checks when he was heavyweight champion, and Ali wasn't. And then for Ali to turn around and call him an Uncle Tom and things like that, well, that struck Joe to the core. I mean, because as I said, Joe was from South Carolina, where you weren't Uncle Toms. You just, you were treated like garbage. That's why he and his family moved to Philadelphia to have a better life. Okay, that's just the way, that's what Joe told me. We moved to Philly for a better life. Okay, and of course, he was a good amateur, winning that Olympic gold medal, but then becoming world heavyweight champion. That sort of cemented Joe in history, and you would think that would have locked him up financially. You know, because he had the fight with Ali. That first fight was worth $2.5 million. He had a couple other fights with Ali in the Foreman fights as well. Although the Foreman fight, Joe wasn't the smartest guy in the world. Here's what's up. He was offered $5 million to fight Muhammad Ali in a rematch. And he said, no. This was about a year after the fight. No. I'm going to fight George Foreman instead for $1.3 million. So he fights George Foreman for $1.3 million, and he gets annihilated. Knock, 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 boom, boom. I mean, he was like a bowling pin. At one point in time in that fight, Frazier, his feet were off the ground from a punch. That's how hard George hit when he hit you flush. But George sort of hit him with an uppercut, and boom, it sort of lifted Joe off the ground. Joe just sort of like came up and came down. I kid you not. He still stayed on his feet and took a couple more punches. Joe was tough, no question about that. But, you know, Joe was no match for George Foreman, and I don't think Joe would have been a match for the Muhammad Ali at his best. I just don't think so. I mean, when he struggled with Bonavena and things like that, I just, you know, Ali came out of retirement after 3.5 years and basically a couple of rounds with Jerry Quarry, and, you know, he took Bonavena to school, and he beat him up down the stretch. Big, long fight. As I said, when I think it went 14 rounds, was the elimination fight of some kind. You know, back in the day, they had title eliminators when they really meant something, because there was only one title back then, one or two titles. Now there's like 19. I mean, who is the world heavyweight champion? Obviously, Vladimir Klitschko. Vladimir Klitschko, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But right now, we're just talking about how Ali and Frazier got to this fight in 1971. But they're hooking it up. They're ready to go. Joe's wearing some trunks that were the ugliest trunks I had ever seen in boxing history. I mean, that were designed. I'm not talking about, you know, guys putting wearing tennis shorts and things like that, because I've seen that happen. Okay, he had his trunks made from the design of some drapes in his house. I kid you not. Some drapes in his house. And there was this ugly, multicolored type of green thing, and Joe wore them, and Joe was victorious, so I guess Joe had the last laugh that night. But Ali, of course, across the ring, the faster. I thought Ali won a lot of rounds. I did. When I went through the fight, I thought Ali won a lot of rounds, maybe 6 or 7 rounds, okay? And then I'd have been 1 round close, okay? But it was a 15-round fight. Joe Frazier was the perceived champion by the establishment coming in, okay? And, you know, he had floored Ali in the 15th round, and then he hurt him in the 11th round. I mean, the hurt that he put on Ali in the 11th round was far more significant than the knockdown punch, that great left hook in the 15th round. I'm telling you, Ali was like, he was truly on Queer Street. Didn't know where he was in the 11th round. In fact, he told me later that he doesn't remember some of the 11th round. That was one point in the time of his career where he didn't remember things that were going on. I mean, he remembered everything else as far as the knockdowns. And this was in, when I spent this time with him, it was in 1994, the extended period of time. And he could still converse well. You know, I mean, he didn't, how can I put this? He wasn't punch drunk per se. He wasn't. He suffered a little bit from the Parkinson's. And outside of that, I mean, when he talked, I understood him. When he wrote, his writing was perfect, everything like that. He was sharp. I mean, he was sharp as a tack still, okay? Just wasn't the fastest moving guy in the world, okay? And I wasn't used to that because, you know, the Ali that I had seen had danced all over the place and did the Ali shuffle and things like that, you know, and here he was like, you know, 60 years old and older than that because of boxing. Because boxing can put some miles on you. I mean, when Muhammad Ali stepped in the ring with Joe Frazier 43 years ago today, he was essentially a shot fighter. Nah, well, Pedro, how can you say that? He'd go on and beat Joe Frazier in the second and the third match. He'd beat George Foreman. I mean, he beat all those guys. How can you say that? He beat Ernie Shavers. He beat all these guys. Ken Norton, controversially. Okay? Yeah. But he was shot at that point. He was fighting on skill and guts and brains. That was the brain, skill, and guts. That's what he was fighting on. He wasn't fighting with just pure skill anymore and pure speed. He didn't have it. Just didn't have it. Didn't have the legs that can go 15 rounds effectively in and out, darting in and out and hitting guys good. He was an older guy now, and it showed, okay? It showed in both the Quarry fight and the Bonavena fight prior to the Frazier fight. But in the Frazier fight, Ali was sharp. He was ready to go for the time that he had spent in the gym. And see, that's the key part there, was that he hadn't spent enough time in the gym. And Yank Durham, who was Joe Frazier's manager, he told Ali's manager, Herbert Muhammad, of course, as I said, the son of Elijah Muhammad, the former head of the Nation of Islam. Anyway, he told Herbert Muhammad that if you don't take the March 8th, 1971 date, that we're not fighting until 1973. We've got three or four other guys we're going to go after, and that'll take up the rest of 71 and 72. We'll make you wait till 73. Well, you know what? Ali bit on that like a fish on a hook with a worm on it. Okay, he shouldn't have bit on that one. Bit too soon. Wasn't quite ready. 15-round decision. Unanimous loss. Muhammad Ali. We'll get into some other intangibles. Talk a little MMA. Things are cooking right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, the iHeartRadio Network, and the American Forces Network. Live coast to coast, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529.
Hey, developers, are your apps breaking? Users complaining? People freaking out? New Relic can help.
You can?
We can. New Relic is the easiest way for software developers to build faster, better performing web and mobile apps.
Is it complicated and pricey?
Nope. It only takes 5 minutes to get up and running. Start getting code-level visibility into users using your apps in real time. See bottlenecks, spot bugs, and fix problems fast before they ever affect the people using your app. Plus, New Relic is free.
I'm in love.
Go to newrelic.com/radio in the next 5 minutes, and we'll send you a free t-shirt and give you 30 days of New Relic Pro for free. That's newrelic.com/radio right now for the shirt and the pro monitoring tools. newrelic.com/radio.
Waiting for settlement or annuity payments but need cash now? Stop waiting years for your money. Now you have a better choice. We're Novation, and we'll pay a large lump sum of cash in exchange for settlement or annuity payments. You get the upfront cash you need and let Novation do the waiting. Call our toll-free assistance line right now and get our free DVD that explains in easy-to-understand terms how you can turn future settlement or annuity payments into cash. At Novation, we've helped thousands of people improve their lives. How? By listening to each customer with respect and tailoring a cash solution that met their individual needs. Let Novation help you too. Call now and get your free DVD rushed to you today. Our specialists are standing by awaiting your call. Call 800-541-0769. That's 800-541-0769. Again, call 800-541-0769. Simply call Novation toll-free at 800-541-0769 and get your money when you need it.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
We'll find out tonight how much the Ali fight took out of Frazier, if anything. And we'll find out tonight just how good George Foreman is in punching and in taking a punch. I think he hurt Joe Frazier. I think Joe is hurt.
Frazier's hurt.
Angie Dundee, Ali's trainer right next to me, is saying it. You may hear him. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count, and Foreman is as poised as can be in a neutral corner. He is as poised as can be. We have a minute left in this first round, and already this fight is proving out what some have expected. Oh, that left is getting in there. Underneath, Archie Moore is yelling to Foreman. We've got the excitement here that we look for. Frazier is dazed. He is getting hit again and again and again. The same head that was hit so often by Muhammad Ali. Frazier is dazed. You see the countdown for the first round. Foreman has not panicked. Foreman is going about his job. Foreman is all over Joe Frazier. Frazier is down again, and he may be. No, he is rising. He is game. He doesn't know where he is. The mandatory eight count. He doesn't know where he is. Now the round is about to end. Two knockdowns in the first round of Joe Frazier. Down again. No saving by the bell.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You ask me how well did he fight, I don't know. But I can tell you one thing, he punched good.
Sounds of the Mod Squad. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing. It's how we are celebrating the 43rd anniversary of Ali and Frazier. So if we're doing a little bit more boxing in historically as far as of late, you know, it's because I've got that background. I mean, if you look at some of the articles I've written of late, I'm talking about the Jerry Corey article, of course, the late heavyweight contender, was quite a fighter back in his day, you know, for 200 pounds and being small, it could have been a great cruiserweight, but as heavyweight champion, that was never going to happen. Jerry Corey just wasn't quite that good, but I've got a story on him and how his family didn't take care of him and how he died and how the controversy was involved in his death and his that one comeback fight that he did. And, of course, I've got two articles up on the one on the Ali Frazier fight right now. Ali Frazier, March 8th, 1971. And now it's 2014, 43 years later. And then, of course, I've got a story on Joe Frazier. And Joe Frazier passed away about 2 years ago from liver cancer. Joe Frazier was one hell of a guy. At sometimes there was a split personality with Joe Frazier, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But right now we're going to talk the fight just for a second, okay? Let me tell you what this was all about. Not only did the world come to a stop, I mean, screeching halt. You had people like Don Dunphy, who was doing the television, probably one of the greatest ring announcers, fight announcers of all time. Archie Moore, the old mongoose, the former light heavyweight champion. He was a color commentator, okay? Burt Lancaster was chosen by this guy, Joey Parencio, who was the promoter. Burt Lancaster was an Academy Award winning actor, okay? He was chosen to be one of the color commentators, and he did a great job doing it, but it was crazy. Frank Sinatra was the ringside photographer for Life magazine. I mean, it was just had it going on. But here's the way the fight sort of broke down, okay? The fight became a sort of split the country in two. It really did. If you were for Muhammad Ali, you know, you were either black, liberal, or against the war in Vietnam and for the civil rights movement, okay? If you backed Joe Frazier, you were like a representative of white conservative America. This is according to Wikipedia. Okay, the fight was one of the most anticipated events of the 20th century, and it transcended boxing, I think, without question, okay? We go to the scorecards here. After 15 rounds, of course, now Ali won the first three rounds, I thought, easily, okay? But unfortunately, you know, Judge Artie Adila gave Frazier the third round. In fact, all three fighters gave him the third round, and all three judges did. Bill Reck was the other judge, and Arthur McCanny was the referee. Okay, so Ali won the first two rounds on Artie's card. Frazier won the first round. I don't know how he won the first round on Reck's card, but if you looked at Reck's card at the end, it was 11-4. 11-4. They only scored fights in rounds at that point in time. Okay, that's where the New York State Athletic Commission, that's where the rules were, and they were that way until like 15 years ago. I kid you not. They didn't go to the point system until like 10 or 15 years ago. Anyway, so if you look at the end of the day, Arthur McCanny, who probably had the closest eye on the entire fight, he was a referee, Hall of Famer, great guy, wonderful man, a physical fitness freak to the end. And, of course, the father of Arthur McCanny Jr., who's still refereeing in New York. Arthur McCanny had the fight 8-6-1 for Frazier. Okay? He had the 12th round even. He went Ali for the first two, Frazier for the next three, Ali for the next two, Frazier, then Ali for two, then Frazier, then the even round, and Frazier cleaned up 13, 14, and 50 on Mercanti's card. Okay? Now, it's funny is that Artie Aldala, he had Ali winning the 13th and the 14th round, and Judge Bill Reck even gave Ali the 14th round. So I think had these judges been in line a little bit closer, I think the fight would have not have been an 11-4 fight. And it was probably, I want to say, an 8-6-1 fight or an 8-7 fight. And I think that you have to give the edge to Joe Frazier because of the fact that, you know, although Muhammad Ali hit him 1,000 times, Joe Frazier was the guy that landed the significant blows or some of the significant blows. I mean, some of that hook he landed in the third round, that sort of set the tone for the evening. He was here to fight. The guy wearing the, you know, the boxing trunks that were designed from drapes, okay? Yeah, they were cut out of drapes. Anyway, he was back in control. I mean, there was no question about it. About the fourth round, Joe Frazier got his rhythm going. In the fifth round, the judges split. Bill Weck gave it to Ali. The other two gave it to Frazier. Round six, Frazier got it on two cards, Ali on another. See, this is where I don't really like. This is sort of tells you something's amiss with the scoring when you've got this judges not agreeing on rounds. I just don't see it that way. I mean, everybody is essentially watching the same fight. Yeah, you're watching it from a different angle, but you're watching the same fight. Okay? And boxing is not a fight in which you need to be a rocket scientist in order to be a judge. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm a certified judge with the Association of Boxing Commissions. I am not saying that because of that. I'm not. Okay? It's just that it's not the toughest sport in the world to figure out. He who lands the clean and significant blows in a professional boxing match usually deserves a decision. And the clean and significant blows in a lot of this fight, as far as, you know, Joe Frazier and that left hook. And Joe also worked the body. Joe worked the body well, okay? But that I think, gave him the edge over Ali in this fight. Ali may have landed more punches, but Joe sort of did the damage. Anyway, 9-6 on Artie's card, Artie Aldala, 9-6 for Frazier. Bill Recht had it 11-4 for Frazier. And Arthur McCanny, again, the referee, had it 8-6-1 for Frazier. Now, this didn't end the war between these two men. Of course, they continued to have bitter rivalries. I mean, Joe Frazier went off and fought George Foreman instead of fight Muhammad Ali in a rematch. And you just heard what happened to Joe there. He got smoked. Smoking Joe Frazier came out smoking, man. But George Foreman wasn't joking. No question about that. George took him out in less than two rounds. And, of course, I think a lot of that had to do with the licking that Joe had taken from Muhammad Ali in 1971, 43 years ago today. That was a tremendous amount of punishment both guys took. I don't think either guy was the same afterwards. And as I said going in, I thought Ali was a bit of a shot fighter because he wasn't nowhere near the fighter he was when he left 3.5 years earlier. He just wasn't. Didn't have the legs. The reflexes weren't all that hot. He was pushing punches. To me, if you look at one fighter compared to another, they just weren't the same guy. It just wasn't. It wasn't the same guy physically. And, of course, him coming back after 3.5 years, losing to Frazier, coming back and beating Jimmy Ellis and guys like that, you know, and he fought George Chavallo along the way, came back and fought Chavallo again. George was a good guy. George was a great guy. George had nothing but respect for both Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. George Chavallo, of course, a former Canadian heavyweight champion, still alive and well in Montreal, I believe, and I keep trying to get him on the show. Every time I call a friend of mine, the guy says, yeah, I'll get back to you. Three or four times hasn't got back to me. But anyway, Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali, March 8th, 1971, 43 years ago today. Hard to believe it. You know, Joe Frazier would lose the heavyweight championship, as we just heard, to George Foreman. Then George Foreman would lose the heavyweight championship to Muhammad Ali. And then Muhammad Ali would resign as heavyweight champion after losing a decision to Leon Spinks. Leon who? Yeah, Leon Spinks, the 1976 Olympic gold medalist, okay, at heavyweight. And he lost his decision to Spinks. It was like, wow, what's going on? You lose a guy like with nine fights, you got some seven or eight fights, you got some problems, man. You're shot. You're 37, 36 years old. Your day is done. So Ali comes back in the rematch and easily schools Leon Spinks, whose teeth were found underneath a hotel room maid cleaning up a room of his, found underneath his bed. Seriously, that was in New York City. Found it right underneath his bed. His teeth. His teeth, as he used to call them. Anyway, the bottom line is that's not the only thing that's been found by hotel room maids. Of course, there was $1 million sock. That's right, the $1 million check in the sock of Oliver McCall. Remember that? Back in the day, Don King gave him $1 million check and he put it in the sock. And then he left it in the hotel room and had to come back and get it. And then he, that was crazy. The craze. What boxers will do. Okay, boxers are incredibly, they're human. And boxers do what humans do. Humans go crazy, boxers go crazy. It happens all the time. All right, back to Ali and Frazier. After the fight, Frazier was never the same. As I said, getting smoked by George Foreman, coming back and giving Ali a decent fight in the second fight. But in the second fight in Madison Square Garden in 1973, Joe was ready to go. Joe was ready to go. I'm telling you, in the second round, Joe was ready to go. Ali had him wobbling like Foreman had him wobbling. I mean, he was really wobbling. And had referee Tony Perez not jumped in and stopped the action like 15 or 20 seconds before the bell, I think Ali might have finished him. Might have dropped him, might have hurt him, and he might not have been able to get up because, you know, he can't be saved by the bell. Okay, but Tony Perez made this gaffe, and Ali would despise Tony Perez for decades afterwards, thinking that Tony Perez was trying to pull a move on him because he knew Joe was ready to go. And the thing with Ali, how can I put this? He sort of implied that Tony Perez was part of some game or some part of chicanery to keep him from winning the fight. Okay, because he thought he could have won it there in the second round knockout. And what was funny is that had the 10-second bell rung, or had there been 10 seconds in the round or less, the lights on the post would have lit up there in Madison Square Garden. So I'm sort of miffed as to why Tony Perez had jumped in there anyway, but he did jump in there. He saved Joe Frazier. Joe Frazier came back, fought a long, hard fight, a 12-round fight with Muhammad Ali for the North American Boxing Federation, NABF heavyweight title. After 12 rounds, Muhammad Ali was a winner. But he went 10 rounds too long in his mind, and he blamed Tony Perez for that. Okay, the third fight, they hook it up. 1975, the Thriller in Manila. Okay, President Ferdinand Marcos, he nearly bankrupts the country, putting forth the money, giving it to Don King for a site fee. And, of course, they had this fight in this indoor auditorium over there, and you know, it was a significant event for the country. But you know, President Marcos, Ferdinand Marcos, the late President Ferdinand Marcos, okay, he was a bit of a how can we put this, a turd, because you know, when the Beatles came over, the Beatles toured and went to the Philippines. He wanted the Beatles to play for him in his house, in his palace, and they wouldn't do it. John Lennon said, "I'm not even going to go meet the guy." So John Lennon and the boys shunned the Fab Four. They shunned President Ferdinand Marcos. They played their concert, and they got on their plane, and they left. And they, according to some accounts, they never even got paid for that gig. Okay, but that was Marcos. Marcos was into trying to make publicity to himself. He was a man that had squandered away, you know, it stole millions and millions of dollars from the Filipino people. There's no question about it. I mean, how he got that rich? How could he get that rich? He was just president. You know, guys don't make $20-30 million. Somebody said he was worth in the neighborhood of $75-80 million when he went. Of course, his wife, Imelda Marcos, the lady that saved all the shoes, she's still alive. But he spent, I think he gave up like $5 or $6 million to Don King to bring this fight over to the Philippines. And then they would show it at an incredible hour over there in order to bring it back here live on the East Coast and the West Coast at decent times where they could watch it on closed circuit television. Because that's how boxing was shown back then. Big time fights were not aired always on television. They were on closed circuit television, which is, when you think of today's pay-per-view, you had to go to a theater to watch a fight. Yeah, seriously, you go to a theater, and they would serve beer, and, you know, they'd be maybe, if there was a Mexican fighter involved, mariachi band, or a Puerto Rican fighter, or, I mean, it was just, they were an event. They're always an event, closed-circuit television, but this was how fights were shown back in the 70s. Ali Frazier, The Thrill of Manila, a fantastic event on closed-circuit TV. March 8th, 1971, 43 years ago today. You're tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, the iHeartRadio Network, and the American Forces Network. Please take me with you. Yes.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Attention, if you've had hip replacement surgery and suffered any complications, you need to listen to this important legal alert. Major manufacturers have made billions of dollars available to award legal claims for defective hip implants. Thousands of these defective hip implants have been recalled by various manufacturers. If you've had hip surgery and suffered complications, you may be entitled to receive significant compensation to help you deal with your complications. You may be eligible to receive money to help with medical expenses, lost wages, and pain and suffering. Protect yourself by hiring an experienced trial attorney. Our partner law firms are experts in hip replacement surgery lawsuits. Find out now if you're eligible to receive any of the $2.5 billion hip settlement fund. Call now for free information. 800-296-1360. 800-296-1360. 800-296-1360. That's 800-296-1360.
Who did you let down today? Your wife? Your kids? Well, how about yourself? Take a look in the mirror. If you're tired of your drug and alcohol problem, you need to fix the problem and right now, before you hurt or kill yourself, or worse yet, somebody else. Call the addiction specialist now at the Detox and Treatment Helpline, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you have private insurance, we specialize in finding you the right treatment. When you call right now, you'll speak to a recovering addict who understands what you're going through right now. Let us help you break your addiction to drug and alcohol before it's too late. This call is completely confidential and free. So if you have private insurance, take 5 minutes of your time. Call right now. I promise it'll change your life.
800-296-1325. 800-296-1325. 800-296-1325. That's 800-296-1325.
And that was from that plate around the corner. You know, the rope-a-dope, that was a little bit of the rope-a-dope, but he was a dope, so he got damned.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Well, you have to talk to my lawyer on that one.
Little main nerve there from the mighty Tower of Power. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing. This hour we are celebrating 43 years of boxing history, folks. The late Joe Frazier, of course, retaining and capturing the linear world heavyweight title when he beat Muhammad Ali 43 years ago today in Madison Square Garden. A unanimous decision in 15 rounds, back when fights were 15 rounds. And straight up, I thought Frazier did deserve to win that fight. Of course, Muhammad Ali would never admit defeat in public, per se, but not right away anyway, but he did to people like George Plimpton, you know, and of course, Ali was classy. Joe Frazier, classy at times, unclassy at others. Of course, Ali also was not the greatest guy at sometimes. He was mean-spirited, so Ali and Frazier, 43 years ago today, of course, the late Joe Frazier, God rest his soul, Muhammad Ali, in frail health as I speak. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, and don't forget, we emanate from the Sports Byline Broadcast Studios in San Francisco, California, and we are live on the iHeartRadio Network and the American Forces Network.